In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
Well, it's finally happened. We knew it was coming, but now it's actually happened. Oregon has gone fascist, the full Nazi. Last night, we got a call from a friend to alert us to an RFP, that's a request for a proposal, from Oregon's Secretary of State. They were looking for a vendor to provide rather Orwellian monitoring of social media, websites, blogs, YouTube videos, podcasts, and even radio for any misinformation, disinformation, or malinformation about the elections. And inherent within that proposal, it's the state that gets to decide what is true or not. No questioning the elections. For those of you who believe that we have rights, especially free speech, this is chilling and deeply disturbing. With this RFP, Oregon Secretary of State has announced the state is now going to monitor everything people say online or over the air about elections so they can be alerted to it, which is especially extraordinary because if people aren't trusting the elections, it's the state's job to make the elections trustworthy. For Democrats who claim they want transparency, they are attempting to shut down anyone who wants to look. The foundation of democracy is the ability to question democracy, to question the people you elect. If you don't have free speech, you don't have democracy. You have whatever your betters tell you you have. If you remove free speech, you have shredded democracy and replace it with authoritarianism, tyranny. To talk about Oregon's sudden and blatant lurch towards fascism, I'd like to welcome Mark Thielman back to the show. He's involved in the fight for school choice and has an active and ongoing lawsuit against the state seeking to restore some integrity in our elections. Mark, thanks for joining us today on such short notice.
Hey, well, thanks for having me. These are exciting times.
Yeah, really. So, as I said, a mutual friend actually alerted us to this RFP. What was your reaction when you first heard about it?
Well, I actually notified our mutual friend about it.
Okay.
My reaction was chilled. I mean, it is stunning that they would be this brazen.
Yes.
They're using every trick in the book so that they don't have to be transparent. So that, you know, like, well, we're just going to put out for a 3-month RFP and that'll be under the $150,000 threshold. So now we don't have to advertise and show our cards. So because we don't want people knowing about this until after we implement, and then we can renew the contract all we want. Does that sound like a government of the people? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't get that privilege. Do you get that privilege? I mean, when you file your taxes, you're supposed to follow timelines and you're supposed to be transparent. And so, you know, I keep coming back to this theme. This is deliberate. This is on purpose. And it's being kind of earmarked by Tobias Reed, who's the Democrat who's now just said he's running for Secretary of State, and his very good buddy, Dan Rayfield, who is running for the Attorney General position to replace Ellen Rosenblum. So we're going to have two good buddies, the good old boys club, and two of the most powerful branches of the executive government in the state, and they're going to ram this down, and free speech no longer will exist in Oregon as a result of these folks, especially as it pertains to election.
No, the thing is, it doesn't matter if somebody is wrong. It's their opinion. It's the state's job, however, to prove itself to be trustworthy. If the state is so worried about opinions that the state is not trustworthy, shutting down discussions about its lack of trustworthiness proves that it is not trustworthy.
Well, but here's their out. I mean, what a convenient paradigm. I mean, really think about this. Ready? They're under threat. It says right there in the RFP that they have been under burdensome public records requests. Now, in case you forgot, Mark, go back, you know, X number of years, 2 decades. It was the Democrats that pushed for public records laws. And now those laws are being used against them now that they have ubiquitous one-party power.
Right.
So what they do is now they can't undo that. Hey, that was their baby, right? I mean, they believe in transparency. So what they do is they come back and say, Well, these aren't public records requests by good actors. These are public records requests by people who want to disseminate misinformation. And it's very convenient to label anyone who threatens your power or tries to provide accountability for you as some kind of terrorist. Now, the other thing that people need to understand is they will have the power to indict under this RFP once that information is delivered to them. So people could show up, Mark, you're a radio guy. They're going to monitor your show. And they can show up right at your door and say, hey, you're under arrest. Or here's your indictment because of things you said on the radio or allowed somebody to say on the radio. This is very scary. I mean, it's absolutely terrifying. Now, the last point I want people to understand is they call it their solution to people questioning or asking questions about the integrity of Oregon's mail-in ballot system. Now, I don't know about you, but there was the Third Reich, I think, in the 20th century.
Yeah, I was going to say, at least they didn't call it the final solution.
No, but it's ironic that they would be so dense,
yes,
so out of touch,
yes,
that they would
exactly
use that line, especially now with what's going on with Israel.
Yes, and it's like, how do they not see that these actions reinforces the so-called conspiracy theory that the election was stolen? I mean, if it was on the up and up, and you absolutely knew and believed it was fair and honest, you'd have a good chuckle when somebody said it was stolen because you'd be able to prove it. I mean, people who don't cheat don't need to censor people who say they are cheating.
Well, again, they have to defend the current system, which isn't defensible. And because it's not defensible, we now have this request for proposal. See? And think about it. It's a win-win for leftist Marxist people. One-party rule mindsets, right? Because now they get to silence their opposition legally.
Yeah.
Again, eerily similar to the situation in the Third Reich. Now remember, they passed they went through the Nuremberg trials, and now we have the Nuremberg codes that specifically, blatantly prevent this very request for proposal. And it is shocking to me just how far and how lost this current state Democrat Party here in Oregon has become.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, at a minimum, this is going to increase doubts about the election, not lower them. I mean, people who aren't lying don't do this sort of thing. And yet here we are with this Orwellian monitoring system that's going to roll out. Okay, we need to take a break. Everyone stay with us. We're going to have more with Mark Thielman talking about Oregon State's lurch to fascism. Stay with us. In case you're just joining us, we found out Thursday night about a request for proposals from the Oregon Secretary of State for a misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation analysis platform services aimed specifically at stopping any questioning of the election that the state doesn't like. In short, the state of Oregon has declared a war on free speech, and now with a technology platform, they will actively pursue anyone who dares to question them. And I'd like to come back on that note there, Mark, because in that previous segment, you had mentioned that this will give the state the power to indict people. It doesn't specifically say that word indict anywhere in the proposal. Where did you get that from?
Well, I appreciate you clarifying this. So if you look in the RFP, it says referral to law enforcement and the FBI. Any referral to the FBI usually begets their unopening of an investigation. If they don't like your speech, they can refer you to the Federal Justice Department for indictment. There's a guy who's pretty famous right now who's lived this at least four times. That's Donald Trump.
Yes.
Same process happened for him.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we are watching in real time somebody, not just anybody, but the former president of the United States having his free speech attacked and being stripped from him. And being threatened with jail over it for having an opinion about the election. So I'd like to back up just a little bit about the RFP, and we'll dig a little bit more into this here. But according to the RFP, and again, that's Request for Proposal, it's a MDM analysis platform services, MDM being misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation. And just reading from that RFP, it says, quote, "The purpose of this RFP is to contract with a vendor to help provide a suite of products to identify and mitigate harmful information online as it relates to elections, mis, dis, and malinformation, or MDM. Currently, the Oregon Elections Division, our county clerks, and eligible voters are being targeted by mis, dis, and malinformation. The MDM work is often targeted at misinformation circulating on the dark web, underground web and social media pages before the election division and county clerks know about the MTM. You know, this is just fascism at its finest. And for Democrats who shriek about fascism, here they are being fascists.
Well, and here's why. They've tried, you know, they had the whole ad campaign. They resurrected the Shamia Fagan, the disgraced, you know, predecessor SOS who resigned because she was taking, you know, cash payments from the cartel, if you will, or La Moda. And so she was corrupt. And they had canceled her ad campaign called Oregon Vote. And it's a bunch of little blobby creatures, little cartoon people that talked about how they have accurate lists and how our elections are super secure. The thing is, all you have to say is, well, how do you secure 4 million ballots that you randomly mail out into the mail and they go to all kinds of places, including parking lots? How do you make sure that everything's are secure? And suddenly they don't have an answer for that. So they have to double down. And they are very concerned because the lawsuit that was filed, I'm the lead plaintiff, obviously, in Battleground, Oregon, that said, because of these behaviors, because of these ad campaigns, because of all these anomalies, because that our current mail-in ballot system is similar to a take-home test versus a proctored one in regard to its integrity, it's harming people's confidence in the system. And remember, they do internal polling in the government. They don't necessarily put that out in the newspaper. And they're well aware that well over 50% here in Oregon, including a lot of Democrats and a lot of unaffiliated voters, do have questions and concerns. I mean, it's really common sense. So that makes them nervous. They get scared. So how do we stop this? How do we shut this down? Well, we're going to do what we in the left always do. We're going to attack people personally. We're going to categorize people who think and believe and ask questions that we don't like. And we're going to obfuscate by not giving people the whole truth. So look what you just did. You asked me to clarify because it didn't specifically say indictment in the RFP. And then I was able to say, hey, great point. We do want to be accurate. We don't want to do misinformation. Am I right?
That's right.
So I explained the pathway by which the RFP sets up a process by which people can and indeed be indicted. They don't even do that. They just don't communicate. They'll say we're under no obligation to explain why our elections are secure, because that's exactly what they've said in the court of law, in federal court. They came out and just said it's secure because we say so.
Yeah.
And all of the things that are being levied against us, which, by the way, many of them were sourced through public records requests. So here they have to answer these things. And then the information they have to give ends up undermining their narrative. So this new solution is their last straw. If they're successful with this, there will be no going back.
Mm-mm.
Faith, family, freedom, conservative-minded people will forever be marginalized.
That's right.
And we will be further divided when we should be further united. And that's the legacy of Tina Kotek, of Tobias Reed, of Dan Rayfield. I mean, look what they've done to the legislature, just on a side note. They now have to take attendance. It's insane. And they did that by obfuscating, lying to the people about some supposed problem because they were tired of Republicans walking out and stopping their agenda that all the internal polling showed was unpopular for the majority of Oregonians. So here we go. And if we don't stop this now, we are going to be, and I just mark my words, in big trouble.
Yeah.
Now, there is some hope. We got the U.S. Supreme Court taking up the federal case where the Biden administration was conspiring with big tech companies to suppress speech. At the same time, that same court lifted the gag order, right? Or lifted the injunction, I mean. So that now, up until they make their ruling, the federal government can go back to conspiring. So it's a very, you know, uncertain place that we're at. So we can't rely on the U.S. Supreme Court. We here in Oregon need to take matters in our own hands, and we need to make sure our voices are heard, because we have a right to free speech. We have a right to opinion, even opinions you don't like. And the second that's undermined, we are not free.
No, we're not. And it's a huge slippery slope. In fact, I'd like to talk about that next. Stay with us. We'll be pulling apart the state's declaration of war on free speech after this quick break.
And
And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today to Mark Fuhlman, who is involved in such things as school choice and also election integrity. And that's a huge issue today. We just found out on Thursday night that the state has sent out an RFP. In fact, it's already been signed, I think, according to the announcement, to monitor people on social media, even on the radio, for misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation about the election integrity. How dare you peasants actually try to question any of the things that we say? So Mark, I said going out of that last segment there that this is a huge slippery slope, and you kind of mentioned that a little bit, because we know that this is not going to end with censoring people about elections. And you had mentioned that, yes, this is going to open the door to indicting people, because if they need to, they will, or if they would just like to, refer certain people to the FBI. That, of course, opens the door to prosecution. So where's next? I mean, I assume the next is going to be about monitoring people about health emergencies or anything that the government does. You're just simply not going to be allowed to question us.
Well, and I think what's important is, how can rational people think that this is okay?
Right.
You know, because, I mean, we're supposed to assume that Tina Kotek, our governor, is rational. And what people need to understand is that the entire paradigm that's behind, that is the foundation of this request for proposal to censor and suppress free speech, is wholly designed on a false premise. And that is the premise that we, the enlightened, we, the all moral, we, the entitled, right? We cannot be bad. And so think about this. Our entire mail-in balloting system, just like a take-home test, is completely reliant on everybody following their integrity rules and filling out their own ballot and not pressuring anyone else or not filling out somebody else's ballot for someone. And yet, at the same time, you can help someone else fill out the ballot. You can go and pressure people. You can go collect ballots. You see the insanity of this whole thing? So it's incongruent, and the only option they have is to take rights away so that people, out of fear and force, stop questioning. Why? Because we're not bad. We can never be bad. There are no bad actors in government. Now, Mark, just between you and me, let me help everybody understand the fallacy of that logic. There were well over 100 million people killed between the Nazis in World War II, Joseph Stalin, the Ukrainian situation, the starvation and all that, under the 1950s, you know, communist regime. And don't forget the 60, 70 million in China under Mao Zedong, and the 3 or 4 million in Cambodia under Pol Pot, all in one century. I mean, that was an active century. And you can throw in the Armenian massacre during the waning days of the Ottoman Empire, right?
Right.
All of those horrible human rights, violations, I mean, just absolute slaughter of people who were not in power by the powerful. Who did that? That's my question for the listener. It wasn't evil corporations. It wasn't Exxon or Amazon. It wasn't a shipping company. Who was it? It was the government in Germany, the government in the Soviet Union, the government in China, the government in Cambodia, the government in the Ottoman Empire.
And I don't know actually specifically about the Ottoman Empire, but all of those other ones you mentioned, they're all on the left side of the aisle.
Exactly. And this is my point. And we are heading down. We have to take our state back, which is why we have to have two things in order to do that. One, we have to have free speech. It's critical. And two, we have to have the expression of our speech, which is the power for a free and fair vote. One citizen, one vote. We do not have that in this unsecured mail-in balloting system.
Mm-mm.
They don't have any control over all these ballots. Plus, they can print their own, as we've explained in the lawsuit.
Sure, sure. And
without
and because once that the envelope that has the signature on it is separated from the ballot, you have no idea or means to find out whether or not that ballot is the one that's actually counted, or if they just managed to throw that one in the garbage and substitute a whole bunch more. And this notion that can't happen is just absurd.
It is.
As far as the slippery slope is concerned, how wide do you think this censorship alert is going to go? I mean, you know, because we're talking slippery slope here. I mean, are they going to start intercepting and spying on emails? Are they going to start eavesdropping on your cell phone conversations? Are they going to intercept text messages, turning on listening devices in your home like Alexa and Siri and Microsoft's Cortana? I mean, I certainly assume Facebook will happily be joining in on this. And again, this just opens the door to so much more government spying on its own citizens.
Well, it's not the government spying. I mean, it's right there in the RFP. It's a third-party vendor contracted with the government, so now you can't even look into it.
Yes,
you won't even be able to, because it's all proprietary.
Yep, that's actually a great point. It's weasel words to get around that, but you're right. It's going to all be proprietary, and we won't be able to crack open that door, just like what happened there in Washington County. It was proprietary database. Well, if it's the public database, it needs to be public.
Well, what people need to understand is that I was at that trial, I was Tim Sipple trial in Washington County, and it was extremely clear when Stephen Jonkis, the attorney for Tim Sipple, he read the contract out loud in a court of law with the judge and the Secretary of State's office and the government, state government, all their counsel. And the witness representing the contract from the state even admitted that, you know, it does say what it said. And it said that all of the data belonged to the county, to the state. And that if anything was in conflict, the company, through that contract, ceded the rights to that data to the state. Except that's not how it really worked in real life, was it? And a judge who listened to those exact words in the contract still sided with the state.
Hmm.
Why? That's a partisan judge. She did not apply the law as she's required. She is partisan. She is on the side of the government. And if she's smart, she will be, because why? Magistrate judge who wants to have a career. She wants an appointment. She wants Joe Biden to appoint her to the Supreme Court someday. That is how this system has been corrupted over time. And we have to take it back.
Yeah, we absolutely have to take it back, which is what this is exactly designed to prevent us from taking it back. We've mentioned often here on iSpy that Oregon is the Wuhan lab of leftist politics. They try it out here and experiment on it before they export it elsewhere. I could certainly see where they're developing this to send it to other states. And in fact, within the RFP, they say that's going to be part of it, is as they gather this information, they're going to be alerting other states too to these issues. So there you go.
Well, ready? Washington and California. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, yeah. And why not to Texas, too, while we're at it? So, okay, let's go and take a break. Lots more to talk about still with this RFP that is seeking to monitor your communications about the elections. An absolutely dangerous, dangerous attack on free speech. Back. We're talking to Mark Thielman today. He's involved in school choice and also on election integrity. And we just found out Thursday night that the state has put out a request for proposals to start monitoring people for misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation about the elections and election integrity. And the state is going to be the one who gets to decide what exactly is truth or not. And Mark, I'd like to just back up just a little bit, just so that people are clear. I want to define those terms, and this is how the state defines them, and it's not how I would necessarily. They say misinformation is false, but not created or shared with the intention of causing harm. Disinformation is deliberately created to mislead, harm, or manipulate a person, social group, organization, or country. Malinformation is based on fact, but used out of context to mislead, harm, or manipulate. And I would like to add that real disinformation is actually quite different. Real disinformation can only be done by large or state-level actors because it involves changing reality. And I talked about that in my speech back in March to the Capital City Republican Women's Group, which we actually aired as Show 1310, so people go listen to that if you'd like to. Is there anything you'd like to add to those definitions?
Well, look how convenient those things are, okay? So for me, those definitions are what I call tradecraft for agents who want to stay in power and suppress the rights of others in order to preserve that power. The comedy of it is misinformation will mean, if someone on the left, let's say they engage in misinformation and this system tags them, and then they go, oh, well, that's Bert. Bert's our friend. He's on our side. Oh, he didn't intend anything bad, so he's off the hook. But you, Mark, oh man, you're on a, you know, a top 20 conservative talk show, radio talk show. You're a real threat. You could have said the exact same words and with the exact same tone and context. But for you, they get to say, no, no, it's not only did you do misinformation, but you took some facts in that and now it's been misapplied because we don't like the context that you applied. But it's the exact same words, tone, and expression. That is how wide open this thing is. There is no recourse. There is no fair standard to apply based on those definitions. I mean, who decides whether you meant it or not?
Right. Well, and again, it's someone's opinion about things. And they are, you know, when they say it's disinformation, they're assuming that they have the inside knowledge of what's going on in that person's head, that they did it specifically to harm somebody else. I mean, but it's still just somebody's opinion. And it's not up to the state to decide the validity of that or not. They're a state, for heaven's sakes. And again, if they want to have trust in the elections, this is not the way to do it. Instead, you open the books. It's like being audited. You can't just tell the IRS, hey, everything in there is truthful. No, you need to actually open the books and prove it. And it's the same thing with elections. If you want people to trust the elections, open the books, make it truly transparent, answer the questions that people have, and do so transparently. But instead, when they do things like sue you or sue Tim Whipple, that is the epitome of lack of trustworthiness. Somebody that's got truth on their side doesn't sue somebody who's trying to ask questions. This is the absolute embodiment of that saying, truth does not mind being questioned. A lie does not like being challenged.
Well, again, apply the definitions as they stated them in the RFP. Here's how this works. Ready? It goes to the application. Our opinions are facts. Your opinions are terrorism.
That's right.
It's that simple. I mean, I can't spell it out any more plainly than that. And it is terrifying because opinions used to all be just that, somebody's personal opinion. You could agree or you can disagree, but it stopped and stayed there, and it was a right under the U.S. Constitution for free speech. But now they're saying, no, we want to use this to control narratives and to regulate speech. That's what this is about. And we're no longer free in that environment.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's such a simple, straightforward way to actually ensure integrity and trust in the election.
Mm-hmm.
You do it by being transparent. You do it by letting people ask questions. I mean, why would you not want integrity and trust unless you plan to cheat? And that's what I think this comes down to is, you know, it's almost like an implied message that we plan on cheating and we're going to stop anybody from looking in this next election. And certainly stop them from asking questions.
Well, right there, you just stated, you just exercised disinformation according to our lovely friends in our state government. See, think about that. You just said that the only reason that they might think this is a good idea is because they plan to cheat. Okay, and here's the deal. That is a very educated opinion, in my humble opinion. But the way they see that is right away, you're challenging them, you're besmirching them, and therefore you are now eligible for FBI referral. So Mark, good work. You know, maybe we'll see which one of us, I'm Mark, you're Mark, which Mark will be first. That's my question.
Really, you know, really, when you think about it, what the state is doing to the First Amendment is the equivalent of them taking away guns from everyone, and only the state is allowing to keep guns. It's like it's what we fear about the Second Amendment, where only the government has guns. And now only the government is allowed to have valid opinions. And they're just going to take away your right to be able to speak up about things.
Okay, but here's what I'm getting at. You got to go to the full application. You said something very profound there. You know, only the government, right? Only the government will be allowed to have opinions, period.
Right.
That's what I want people to understand. You will not be allowed to have an opinion that isn't commensurate with what the government tells you is true. That's where we're going. There is no other reason to create a system like this. And what are they really afraid of? They're afraid of transparency. Part of their minds know that what they're doing is wrong. They can't defend it rationally, so then they have to apply force. And we made the mistake in this state of ushering in this mail-in ballot system that strangely, has resulted in only one Republican being elected to statewide office since. I mean, it's catastrophic, at least in the last 20 years, right? Dennis Richardson being the only one as Secretary of State. And this is what I'm getting at. It doesn't fit with the trends in Oregon from going back to the 1980s. We should have had another Republican governor or two, specifically in 2010. But because there's no controls, because there's no security, somebody can show up with 40,000 extra ballots like they did in 2010, and suddenly John Kitzhaber wins the election.
Yeah, surprise, surprise.
It's a tyranny.
How much of this do you think is happening because of the effort to return to hand counting that's underway? I mean, you gave a speech a couple of weeks back about hand counting. There was a demonstration there in Salem about this. I had attended the training for it. I really believe this is a great system to get some trust back into the system. You're working with Democrats across the table. You're sitting side by side with them. There's all of these safety checks in there to ensure that this is a valid ballot, to make sure that it's a valid election and the count is accurate. I know that you said in your speech there that these county clerks are hearing a lot about this, the idea to return to hand counting. Is that part of all of this as to why they're taking this rather extraordinary step now?
Yeah. And so, for example, Douglas County is one of the epicenters of this issue. And there were some recent articles explaining what's going on. And that's a Republican-led, county election clerk, et cetera. Dan Loomis is his name. And Dan has denied all these petitions to return to hand counting. And then he was not required under the Democrat passed laws to explain why. So the people that authored those countywide petitions, guess who they contacted? BattlegroundOregon.org. That's me. And what I explained to them is that there was a rule approved in the Secretary of State's office that said, and the legislature, the left side legislature passed it saying the Secretary of State has the power under rule to implement any change or requirement on top of county clerks needed to secure the election. So Shamia Fagan then implemented a rule that said the Secretary of State is going to require that for any county of 500 or more voters that you have to use machine counting, except they never changed the actual law that allowed for both hand counting or machine counting. And so what I explained, that's what got this rolling, is I said, no, a OAR, an Oregon administrative rule, cannot supersede the will of the legislature as written in statute.
Right. That's right.
And guess what? I'm right. And they are nervous.
Yeah.
They're guess what they're going to do at this next short session? They're going to amend that law to say hand counting of ballots is illegal.
Yeah.
That is what's going to happen. Yep. And we have time to stop it.
Well, we certainly saw that with California. Okay, we are up against break. More on the state's RFP to kill free speech by monitoring discussions about elections with Mark Thielman. Stay with us. And welcome back. We're talking about election integrity today on the iSpy Radio Show. We're doing that with Mark Thielman. It's all because last night we received a call from a friend about an RFP from Oregon Secretary of State. They are looking for a vendor to provide Orwellian monitoring of social media, websites, podcasts, and even radio for any misinformation that they deem is misinformation about the elections. And Mark, it's as I said, this is rather Orwellian that they're even doing this. I really see this as the first step to a social credit score of some sort. I mean, it at least opens the door to that very dark path leading to a social credit system where you're rewarded for how well you obey the government and punished for disobeying or for saying anything critical of the government or party leaders. What are your thoughts?
Well, absolutely. So in terms of social credit score requires everybody to have a cell phone and be basically monitored by the, in this case of this country, it would be the NSA, National Security Administration, et cetera. And so I want people to understand that's how this technology works. In the RFP, it says that they will be monitoring text messages. And that is scary.
Yes.
Because text messages are assumed to be private. But they're going to monitor them anyway. And people need to become aware and cognizant of that. And as a result, it's not only Orwellian. Basically, you're going to be monitored at all times regarding your speech on whatever subject. And right now it's election integrity. You know what it's going to be next? Healthcare. Or it's going to be criticism of the governor.
Or the vaccines. We certainly saw that. Oh, my gosh. They went ballistic about that.
Yeah. And it'll just, and you know, we have a brief window now to stop it. So a couple of things that I want people to understand, that there is time to stop the implementation of this. And what I recommend everybody do is just use a simple email and email the Secretary of State. It's, you know, sos.gov. Include the Secretary of State. Maybe send it to the governor. Make sure you send it to your representatives and your county commissioners and county clerks. Just put all their emails in there and say, one, are you aware of this? And two, what are you thinking? And that, you know, I stand in opposition to that, and I expect you to come out and make a statement, et cetera, et cetera. Tell people what you need them to do. They need to come out and not only not implement this process, they need to do an about face ASAP. Now, there are no great heroes coming. Donald Trump is not going to come and stop this RFP. It's going to be up to the people of Oregon to do that.
Yes.
So a couple of things that I'm doing is I am maneuvering. Obviously, Battleground's on top of this too. And one of the other legal recourses is to stop them in the court and get an injunction and a restraining order immediately filed. Because there is huge constitutional questions to this. If you're going to monitor people's text messages without their knowledge or consent, is that a search and seizure violation? Is that a privacy right violation? These questions are profound. They need to be asked. And the only way to force the government to ask them is to literally inundate them with public feedback. This thing needs to go completely viral. If you have a Facebook, post this issue to your Facebook, post your concern, and share it to everyone in your group.
Yes.
Click like.
Yep. The crazy thing about this is that one of the reasons that they state in there that they're doing this is because they've been taking all these calls and having to respond to inquiries about the integrity of our elections. And if they thought that this is going to stop that, oh, my gosh, no way.
Oh,
people are going to be inundating them now with just over this. And they should. People cannot be quiet about this.
Well, and so Battleground's maneuvering. I've met with some legal people and you know, and like I say, for me, I'm already doing one election integrity lawsuit. But to me, this is a matter of life and death. That's my opinion, that freedom is that important to me, Mark Thielman, personally, that I want to be free. I want my family to be free. I want my children and grandchildren to grow up free, to be able to live that American dream. So this is a visceral attack by the government on the sanctity of our American way of life. That's how I feel about it. So I'm trying to rally some forces. Obviously, that takes support, and I have to raise money to do it. It takes about $5,000 to get something filed and get a restraining order and go through the court process to get it awarded, granted, and an injunction put in place. So right now, as of today, within 24 hours, I was able to raise enough commitment for that. But I do want to encourage people to go to the website, if that's okay. Can I make an ask?
Oh, absolutely.
So it's battlegroundoregon.org. Again, battlegroundoregon.org, all one word. Go to that website, and please, you can participate by making a donation. Large or small, we take them all. And this is critical because getting money in place and getting the legal team in place and finding attorneys who have the expertise and time, I've never seen things come together this quickly because people are so alarmed at just this egregious RFP and what it's proposing to do. So I want to encourage every patriot listening, you know, to make a donation, and we will get this process going. When the money gets in the bank, we will start immediately next week, and because that's our only recourse left. Our only recourse is the courts up to the, you know, right now conservatively dominated U.S. Supreme Court. And we're going to leave no stone unturned. So we need people to raise awareness. We need people to obliterate the government with opposition email. And we need people to donate to Battleground Oregon so we can stop this in the court.
Well, I think that's absolutely important, and we'll make sure that we link that up on iSpyRadio.com. And again, today's show is 13-43. This is just so insane that we're not allowed to ask questions of our own government. I mean, it's the idea of not being able to ask government any questions or be able to question the government. I mean, that's the embodiment of the Hillary meme, that if you stop asking me questions, I could stop lying. That's where we're at right now. So, all right, let's go ahead and take a break. We'll wrap things up with Mark Thielman after this. Hi, welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're wrapping things up with Mark Thielman. We've been talking about election integrity and the state's effort to very Orwellianly spy on everything that you're saying about election integrity so they can flag you for misinformation, disinformation, or malinformation, with the potential of being indicted by the FBI if they deem that you have been saying naughty things out there. I say that lightly, but this is really quite scary. And I want to make sure that we leave people with a little bit of hope in this segment. And one of the things I'd like to refer to is actually a show from a week ago where we were talking with Craig Rucker. He's with CFACT. This is an organization that has made its business since the mid-1980s to fight against this notion of global warming and climate change and rabid environmentalism. One of the things that they said was that, and it had, the show had to do with fighting these offshore wind farms, they really made a point of saying it was the public input and the public outcry over something that led to the stoppage of these wind farms over there in New Jersey. They are currently doing that in Virginia as well. The more that people find out about something, the more that people know about these wind farms, the more they dislike them. And it's because people spoke up that they were able to stop those. The same thing is happening right here in Oregon, where we are having these offshore wind farms shoved at us from the Bureau of whatever ocean management thing it is, BOEM, a Bureau of Ocean Energy Management. And it's because people are speaking up that they're starting to put the pause on things. It's the same thing with this kind of election integrity issue, that people have to be able to have the rights to speak up and not have the fear of the government hanging over you that somebody could be arrested for something. I mean, because that's where this is leading. I know that even in just putting together our show today, it's left us with a knot in our stomach. Are we going to be saying something on air that could get us in trouble, that we're ending up in jail? This kind of thing, just even the hint of this, is enough to start dissuading people from speaking freely about what they believe, what they've heard, to share information as best as they can to people. And now you've got the government wanting to look over your shoulder as you're typing away on Facebook. This is absurd. And it is most definitely not America. Mark, what are some things that you can leave people with for hope?
Well, you know, as you know, when I do some of this activist work, it's exactly as you described. It can be, you know, really uncertain. And obviously you read an RFP like this and I'm going, yeah, I bet I'm one of their targets. But I want people to have hope that if they're writing this RFP, it's because we are winning this war.
That's a good point.
Because we are asking questions of truth and light. And the truth always wins in the long run. It's not always convenient in the short run, as you know, but it always tends to eke its way out. And it is very much on the side of truth to say that people have a right to free speech. They have a right to their opinion, and that opinion does not constitute some kind of terrorist crime. And again, simply taking the action to shed the light, to get the word out, is all it's going to take, because these people in our government, they fear the light. They fear being exposed, because all they care about is how they look. And yeah, we've seen this government retreat multiple times. My favorite is Tina Kotek just dismissed the requirements to re-implement school graduation standards until after the next governor election. Is so magnanimous.
Yeah.
She is just so caring about kids. You see what I'm saying?
Really?
That's how these people work.
Yeah. Once you elect me, whoop, there go those requirements again. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's so, you know, same thing with tolling. She postponed that. I mean, and you have to see it for what it is. Self-absorbed, self-interested, non-leadership, if you will. So give them what they don't expect. Get wild, get loud, and take your message to them and have a message of hope, because we are going to win this battle. Mm. I guarantee it.
Well, I certainly think so. I cannot imagine that this would pass constitutional muster, but, and you know, as you pointed out, we've got these judges that will bend over backwards to accommodate whatever it is that the state wants to do. And that is such a failure of the American system. That's one of the reasons why we have judges, is to provide that third check and balance on things.
Yes. Yes. And just remember, we still have federal courts as well that are much more balanced nationwide. And we have a few legal tricks up our sleeve that I guarantee you the agents of the left, if you will, these Marxist progenitors of these new policies, won't expect. And I'm really excited about it. I think our future in Oregon is very bright, and we just need to toe the line and show them or give them what they don't expect, because the only language they understand is force, and we're going to force them to face the truth and the fallacy of their own election mail-in ballot system.
Yeah.
And that's coming. That's why they're doing this RFP. They're trying to avoid the inevitable. Let's give them the inevitable.
Well, I know, you know, just from a communication standpoint, one of the reasons why they're doing this is because when it comes to establishing a narrative, the first person to the mic is often the one that is able to establish that. You are able to plant something in somebody's head, the idea about something, and they're trying to get ahead of things so they can be monitoring, okay, well, here's a coming issue. We need to scheme on how we're going to be able to pull that up. It's like with the Hillary idea to smear Trump with Russia collusion, because she was first on it, thanks to the media and our own government. People still believe that today, even though it's been completely disproven. Mark, unfortunately, we are up against the clock. I want to thank you so much for your time today, and we really look forward to great results out of this.
Yep. Amen. Keep it up.
The irony of Oregon or any government trying to smear people for what they deem lies. Our government has made its business to lie to people, even and especially around election issues. Anthony Blinken cooked up the idea to have 50 intel agents all swear, without ever even looking at it, swear that the Hunter laptop was Russian disinformation. They knowingly lied to us. Yet instead of going to jail, Blinken is now Biden's, who got elected because of that lie, is Biden's Secretary of State. He didn't go to jail. He got promoted. And the government is worried about us spreading misinformation? I want you to grab a pen and paper. I've got some links for you so you can take action. If you miss it, head to iSpyRadio.com, click on This Week or the Take Action links at the top of the page, or on the side, look for show 13-43. Ready? Send an email about this to elections.sos@sos.oregon.gov. That's elections.sos@sos.oregon.gov. As Mark said, keep it simple. Something like, are you aware of this? I stand in opposition. And then tell them what you want them to do, politely, like not implement this, and they need to do an about face ASAP. But you cannot be silent on this, or before long, you won't have any choice but to be silent. Because as we say every week, the best information is no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.